Do you think QAnon is actually supposed to be like
Alberga?
Anon.
Anon.
Because that's how you pronounce the Q, right? It's like.
Yeah, Alberga.
Mm, so,
Anon. Yo, our click game is on point, bro. Can you do the soft one? Osa.
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 It's from the corner. Like it. Osa.
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 Yo, bro, look at us being bilingual.
Anon.
Shit. We are the future.
You think South Africans are like, I want to join Anon.
Anon.
Yeah.
That's our intro.
Welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is a show with two Brasa talk movie news, shorts,
reviews.
Trailers, reviews, and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
I'm Jeremy.
And this is a Bioscope battle. This is a Bioscope battle.
It's the battle.
It's the battle of battle films.
Yeah.
It's quite insane. But yeah, let's get into the news.
Let's.
Our wear, news and shorts.
The Shang-Chi trailer.
So dope.
Yeah, it is dope. It's
so dope.
First Marvel Asian superhero.
Yes.
The first one was supposed to be Danny Rand.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Easter
Iron Fist was. Do you know, no? I think I watched like four episodes and I was fucking hate this show.
I watched the other Defenders stuff.
Yes.
What's his name?
You got Daredevil 1 and 2.
Daredevil, Luke Cage.
You've got flipping Luke
Jessica
Cage.
Jones.
Luke Cage loses the plot after Cottonmouth dies. Mm. But then you've got Jessica Jones, which was amazing. Mm. Again, great villain in David Tennant. Mm-hmm. But Iron Fist just shat the bed, my
brother. Really did. And then it took those sheets, Trainspotting style.
And tossed it over the rest of the family. And it's like, he was a bad casting, I think.
Yeah.
He couldn't do the kung fu for
him. They tried to teach him most of the kung fu 10 minutes before each scene.
Yeah. And then the script itself, because he kept coming off as like a petulant child.
Mm.
So for once, I want to see some awesome kung fu. And this trailer, it not only shows like grounded fight in a train, fight in a building, but there's also like wire work kung fu somehow. Yeah. I don't know how it's going to play out.
I'm hearing that they think that might be from the past.
Where are you hearing this from?
People talk around me. And then I hear things.
What are you just hiding behind the floor?
You know, I put the year in voyeur.
I'm done. Fuck it. This is crazy.
So they're saying that might be a flashback to Mandarin and Shang-Chi's mother.
Yeah, yeah.
Possibly.
Because Mandarin's got some powers with the Ten Rings, it seems. He's got
a total reimagination of the Ten Rings. They're no longer actual rings.
They were rings on the... Yeah, each ring had like a function. Mm. And from what we can tell from...
Future tech,
it's more like bracelets, yeah.
Looks like bracelets now, so...
But this looks lekker, man.
Looks so good.
You know, we've been jonesing. We've been jonesing for some superhero action.
We've been jonesing for a Mandarin since they bloody pulled the rug out from under.
Oh, with Trevor. Oh, yeah, that upset you a great deal. I really like Trevor, though.
Fucking Trevor.
I hope that Trevor's still alive and he's actually like working for the Mandarin.
I think they're going to bring him in because what were those Marvel, those short films
called? Yeah, Marvel Shorts.
Yeah. Marvel
one-shots. One-shots.
Where they confront the Trevor and Joel and they're like, the real Mandarin is not out there thing. So I hope they bring him in somehow.
Nah, lekker, man. I like to see fresh faces also. Mm. Join the team and shit.
Action sequences are dope. Trailers vary. I get a lot of Black Panther vibes with the music choices and the way that they shot the scenes and stuff, but that's not a bad thing. So.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Mm.
So it's fine.
It's fine.
It's going to be fine.
I said it's a good thing.
Everything's going to be... Do you know it's actually getting like criticism?
Everything is awesome.
It's crazy. Like, man, we'll talk about toxic fandom. That can be a MKT.
That really has to be.
Speaking of toxic fandom, Michael Keaton, because when he actually got some flack when he was cast as Batman.
Yeah.
But that time they couldn't... they couldn't comment on the internet, no. So they had to write in.
Yeah. Which they did.
They got like... thousands and thousands of letters of angry people like shitting
Mr.
on Michael Keaton as Batman, but he's joining the cast of the Flash movie
yes.
as Batman.
Flashpoint Paradox.
Is he going to be Batman?
Well, he's in. I don't think they're revealing whether he's only Bruce Wayne or Batman.
Okay.
So he might be like the much older version of coordinates.
Bruce Man. Yeah. A combination of both.
Yeah.
Or Batwayne.
His superpower is being Bruce.
Yep. Money and sonar.
And a solid chin.
Yep. He doesn't have a solid chin, if you think
Michael
about
Keaton.
It.
Michael Keaton. Chin. He's got that pursed lip.
He's got that, yeah. Mm. But the old bat suit, when he used to turn his... You could see the gaps through his cheek, next to his cheek. It was so bad.
It was not great.
But anyway, this Flash movie, it finally started production also. Mm. I saw.
It's been a while. Is Cary Fukuyama still attached to us?
No, like after the Snyder Cut, it's like I don't care about this Flash now.
But that's unfair, I guess, on these other
No, it's
films.
Not unfair.
It is. I think it's that not we've unfair. Got to judge them on
He choked
unfairness.
A woman.
Oh, well, from that perspective.
No, but also like
Ezra McChokington.
I didn't like his character necessarily in the Justice League.
And he had one cool moment on that was kind of
it. Yeah, so I guess if he's working as a forensic scientist in this one, it could be a bit better.
Could be better. Also, it's Flashpoint Paradox.
Yeah,
that
so you're going to see...
One of the best DC stories.
We're going to see Thomas Wayne. We're going to see...
We should see Thomas Wayne.
We have to see Thomas Wayne.
Do you think Jeffrey...
Dean Morgan, yeah, he must come back.
If they don't, it's...
It's a wasted really opportunity. Stupid. And then his mother, spoiler alert.
Yeah, in the...
Martha. Martha Wayne, she
Martha's
becomes...
Martha's crazy.
She becomes the Joker, yeah. You can't say crazy, Jody.
Oh, sorry.
Jamie told you, man. Jamie told you, she warned you.
She not loses her marbles. She's sanely challenged.
Is that it? Okay. Is that what we're going sanely with? Challenged. Jamie, let us know if that's...
Is that allowed?
Is that okay? Is that PC? Also, when are you listening to the podcast? Jody
doesn't. Said,
she doesn't anymore.
She doesn't. She doesn't even hear all of these things that we do.
Well, then I can say what I want.
Flashpoint is one of the best stories. The DC animated film on this is incredible. Yeah. I really encourage anyone to go out and check it. If they can capture that and put that to film, I'd be excited to watch it. Ezra's still like totally flying under the radar with these choking stuff.
Yeah, Ezra Miller choked a woman. Please tell people,
there's
man.
No fallback on that whatsoever.
Fucking hell. But yeah, I don't care so much about that, but I'm glad Michael Keaton is still working.
True that. Ben Affleck is probably returning as well. No Robert Pattinson in this one, though.
No, because it's different. Get your shit together. Make either say this is a multiverse and then make different stories in the multiverse or unify them somehow. But
I just figure out what to do.
Do make a decision and go with
Let's
it.
Just stick to it.
Figure it out. Carrie Ann Moss. She recently said...
This is horrible.
Fuck my life, man. She recently said that she started getting scripts to play grandmothers after she turned 40.
40. 4-0. Carrie Ann Moss. Yes. I mean, in the Matrix film, she was like in the 30s.
Yeah.
When she did those movies.
Yeah. So she's...
How?
She doesn't even look that old.
No.
She was in her Lost... What did she appear in Lost? In Jessica Jones.
She was in that, and she also did a couple of like more indie films recently. She's been doing like very small scale movies.
Yes, she does not look that old.
At 40 to be sending, and this is just like the double standards and hypocrisy of Hollywood.
Yeah,
but at 40 to be getting like scripts to play a grandmother because you are now considered like you are old.
Yeah, that's fucking insane.
Go fuck yourself.
And I mean, she's in the new Matrix.
Yeah.
So obviously she's fit and shit because she must be doing like Kung Fu.
I don't think she's like even not been. Like you mentioned Jessica Jones. She
looked good
she
in
looked
Jessica
Jones.
No.
So.
The double standard for women is just horrible. Jamie, let's do something about it.
Let's fight them.
Jamie is our woke police person. We need an official title for her.
We can't just use woke randomly.
No, it must. We can work on a word that is like. She's a woke representative.
SJR.
Yeah, social justice representative. Mm-hmm. She's our SJR.
SJR is woke.
Jamie is our SJR.
She's
going
to kick the ass.
Oh, my word. So we'll check in with Jamie. Mm-hmm. Whoopi Goldberg.
Excited.
She's coming back.
Because, baby, there ain't no mountain high enough.
It ain't no valley low enough, Jody. She is coming back for Sister Act 3.
With all of the originals.
All the original cars.
Sister Mary Clarence.
Sister Mary Clarence.
Everyone's back.
My life, this is so dope. I love those movies.
Those movies you can put on anytime.
Anytime.
And it's a good time.
Maria. And the Lord, he did something that's holy. Maria.
Let
I don't know the words. I know that
Sante,
one.
Sante,
Sante, Tarante. And then, I mean, in the sequel, it was... Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore
I feel like there were lots of people who were just like,
And then Frank K comes in and he's joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee. And it's in the morning, because you know I've got my dad, and I wet myself
like,
a hat.
You know, in Fighting Temptations, they like show
I did not watch Fighting Temptations.
So disappointing. They show everyone's superpowers, right? There's a rapper and Montel Jordan's and he can hit high notes and stuff. And everyone's got a superpower for singing.
Yeah.
And then they just sing a generic song at the end. No one does any of the stuff that they can do.
That is crazy.
OJs are in there as well.
The OJs.
The OJs.
Not OJ Simpson.
No. They didn't follow me in jail.
No, but those movies, like, still, that scene, those climaxes still give me goosebumps, man.
They do.
I fucking love Sister Act.
I know. We've got both DVDs.
I don't own DVDs.
But why? You've got to support. That's why music is gone.
I've got it on a hard drive.
On a hard drive?
No, don't tell anybody.
Oh.
I've got it. It's a digital. It's a digital company. But I'm so glad. I don't know if she can still do a thing. How old is she now?
Whoopi's not as spry.
Because Maggie Smith is old.
She's 85.
Maggie Smith is 85. And also Maggie Smith, she... What did I tell you before? Chadwick Boseman pulled a Maggie Smith.
He did.
Because they both were filming while they had
and
cancer.
And people didn't know.
People didn't know. Maggie Smith had cancer while she was filming Harry Potter.
That is batshit crazy.
Yeah, man. She's the best. So Maggie Smith, even Maggie Smith. What is the woman, the why am I doing that with my arms? The bigger lady, the BBW.
I don't know what her name is.
She was amazing. She was so funny.
And she's active. I mean, she's like...
No. She's like so a Melissa McCarthy person.
Yeah, she's like in so many comedies.
And then the small woman, the red-headed woman...
I don't think she did anything else.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
The one who didn't know that she could sing, and then they tell her, do it from the ballet.
Yes. And then who, the character in... I can talk about this movie for ages.
We'll do an MKT.
Yeah, because I mean... Okay, we're going to do an MKT. Fuck it.
So, Tyler Perry's producing this one. And it's coming out on Disney Plus. So, that means...
Oh, Kerr. Wait, what is his... What is his character? No, what does his character do? It's not Kerr.
Madea.
Hello.
Hello. I did not watch any
of them. I did not watch any of them either.
If I see Madea in the title, I tend to avoid...
Yeah.
Like the plague.
Yeah.
But this film's coming out on Disney Plus. So, hopefully we don't have to wait too long.
Yeah, I won't.
Between production and release.
I refuse to wait. I want to be on set.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Whoops.
Let's sell everything we own.
Still won't be enough.
Movie Cat Talk.
It's time for the ultimate battle of battles.
Of battles.
We kind of grew up here.
That's so good.
Yo, this is one of the best soundtracks I've ever done.
Of all time. First EDM song to hit number one on which charts was that? Billboard or something?
Yeah, the chart.
Yeah.
It's a Billboard chart. Yes. Also, that almost wasn't the soundtrack.
That would have been a bad choice.
No, so they... Because of the 90s and stuff, sort of grunge was yo, we still are coming
we
out
should
of
maybe tell
already.
People what we're talking about.
Whoops. Okay, this week's battle is Mortal Kombat 1995, which is in Mortal Kombat with Mortal Kombat 2021.
Yeah.
That's the battle.
It's
going to
be a fatality at the end of the side.
Someone's got to die.
So I'm calling Mortal Kombat 2021 Kortal Mombat. Just so that we can differentiate easily.
Not Schmortal Schmombat.
No, nah, like, Kortal Mombat.
Kortal Mombat. Okay, we call it Kortal Mombat. And the first one is Mortal Kombat. So hit us with a synopsis for the movie from 1995.
Ooh, this one's starring Lyndon Ashby, Kari Hiroyuki Tagawa, Robin Shou, Bridget Wilson, Talisa Soto, and Christopher Lambert.
Yeah, that's how you say it.
Lambert. directed by Paul, before he was W.S.
Before he was W.S., yeah, Paul Anderson. God, if you don't know him, he's basically the
Resident Evil
franchise. Evil.
He married Mila Jovovich.
Do you want to read the synopsis? Yeah,
I have to.
Okay, my bad, sorry.
go ahead. Three martial arts warriors journey to a faraway island to engage in a battle to save the Earth. The aim is to make sure that truth triumphs in the fight against evil. Why is truth mentioned?
There is no better weapon than the truth.
Donald Trump.
When they hit, in the final climax, they just hit Shang Tsung with a
with truth.
You don't have to do this. Do you know what you're doing?
Your
wrong?
Hair is really great, actually.
You can't handle all the souls that's inside your
body. Cheekbones are fantastic.
Also, you owe me 15.
Why are you doing the negative truths?
I don't know.
You were a brilliant casting, Shang.
He was a brilliant casting.
He was amazing.
So out the gate, they hit you with that theme song.
New Line Cinema is still busy forming.
Yes.
And that song
just starts before the fucking visuals come on. It's like, Mortal Kombat!
At that point, you know, I was like, I need to start recording you watching this.
Oh, bruh, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. That shit still slaps. I'm adding it to a playlist, like, as we speak.
Just like, if you need motivation, you just need to perk, just to perk up in
your day. Yeah, that's it. I listen to it on the way to work.
Oh, dude.
This. And then I just arrive at the office and start moving people. Shang Tsung, the casting, he was good.
He was an amazingly good choice for Shang.
I think Liu Kang was also doing well.
He's on point.
Sonya Blade was fine.
Oh, kill me.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I don't think she was the original choice for...
She wasn't. Yeah. It was Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
Cameron Diaz, but she had broken her wrist.
Yes.
So she couldn't actually do, like, the martial arts and stuff.
Which was so hectic in those four.
No, we'll get into it. We'll get into it. So... Sonya Blade, how are we going to do this? Because there's so much story. You can't really call it story.
Yeah.
There's so many things that happen, but there's so many things to discuss about this film.
Yes.
Because I don't know where I stand. And I'm hoping after this conversation,
I'll have a place
for everything.
I feel the same way. Okay, I've made some notes. My first note is Dragon Boat !!
Wow, that's your first note.
I love the Dragon Boat.
That's your first note.
That's my first note.
My first note is from the jump, the theme grabs you by the dick.
Oh, yeah, no. Mortal Kombat original.
Original.
And then I had an exclamation mark there because the song.
Liu Kang's hair is glorious.
So beautiful.
It's amazing.
It never loses its perkiness.
And then when we introduced to Sonya Blade, she's like straight up like mooring people in the club. And nobody bats an eye. And there's a henchman that shoots into the crowd. And it's...
The people,
90s, man. It's the fucking 90s.
Dude, EDM. That's just what it was like. They also do introduce us to Jax, which I've never noticed before.
No, Jax has a very small role in this
film. Actually there.
Yeah, he is there, and they are friends. So that's like a reoccurring theme, but he's like, isn't there like 2 minutes?
Yeah, and then he's gone.
Then he's gone forever. 90s fight choreography. So this is the beginning of the film. This is what the first 15 minutes, I would say. And you've already seen like a couple of fights. Not fights, I'd say like action
sequences.
Luke Angus
flashback.
Yeah, and then Johnny Cage's fight. 90s fight choreography is balderdash.
So balderdash.
It's fucking horrible.
You know the guy that plays Johnny Cage is an actual
martial artist. I could see.
Fucking black belts.
I could see that. But we're going to get into it.
Not always.
We're going to get into it. I'm telling you. I've got some notes.
Yeah, I said about
Dragon Boat. Wait, you love the Dragon Boat.
I love the Dragon Boat, but I also said on Sonya's fighting training, it looks like she had a good 5 minutes of fighting training before
Okay, let's put it this way. Most of the white people look horrible fighting in this fall.
Dragon Boat just...
And this boat just sticks it like out of a cloud of smoke. Just like
no one knows how
this ominous boat. Yeah. And then Liu Kang throws Johnny's luggage into there because Johnny assumes that he's a servant and he takes his money and just throws it in. And a detail that I found quite quite cool was through later in the film, I kept questioning, why the fuck is Johnny still wearing this shit? And then I'm like, oh, they threw all his clothes away. And I was like, nice, that's a cool little detail.
Yeah.
Because, so I mean, nobody would fight in like dress shoes.
No.
But
and
he's
keep
doing
your son
it.
Is on you, just in case.
So Dragon Boat, I don't know why you love it so much.
I love
it. Looks
Boat.
So bad.
Do you know what I love about it?
What?
Is that there isn't even a rocking of water effect.
No, it just glides.
The boat is just there.
Steady.
They are pumping out like smoke.
It's the smoke. Like when you know when you go to like a house show, but they got a DJ, like a professional DJ for
like,
a house show.
And, smoke machine.
And his equipment is too... It's too powerful for the size of the venue, and he's just pumping fucking smoke into the room.
Because it makes his strobe look so quiet.
Oops, oops, oops. That's what the Dragon Boat looked like. Fuck me. So then Christopher Lambert is also introduced.
So amazing.
He's so weird for me as
so
Raiden.
I don't know what. He made a character decision very early on.
Yes.
And he stuck to it.
He was so playful.
Yeah.
But I had to like turn the volume up every time he speaks. He was like one of the Yin-Yang twins.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, why do you see me fight? And then I was like, why is he doing that? But then I remember in other movies he did it as well.
It's his voice. He's just got the voice box problem.
Yeah, but he constantly has to do ADR because he fucking talks to stuff. So he constantly has to go back every time and re-record his fucking dialogue. Uh-huh. Yo, it was crack irritating.
But they pay for both, so he's quite clever.
So he was weird for me.
Mm-hmm.
And like at this point, we just keep getting introduced to characters, right?
Yeah.
Like they on this journey. So Liu Kang's brother dies. Shang Tsung kills him. Mm-hmm. And Liu Kang comes out to find him because he's like, what the fuck happened? My brother's dead.
Yeah.
And he feels guilty.
Because he was supposed to be.
He was supposed to be the one, yeah. And then he goes on this mission to try and kill Shang Tsung. Mm. But then Mortal Kombat's happening and they gather some warriors. Sonya Blade's trying to kill Kano.
Mm-hmm. Kano's a bad guy.
Johnny's
Shang
just
Tsung. A good fighter.
Johnny's but a fighter, man.
Yeah.
How did Johnny get there again?
Raiden checked all of their souls.
Yes, he checked their souls.
I didn't know what I thought.
And he was like, lift your feet. Lift your feet, let me see. He checked his souls and they were good.
Do you know what Johnny Cage's name is when he comes to South Africa?
No.
Johan Hawk.
Oh my God.
I'm going to get some Johan Hawk. In
why?
The Johan Hawk on Noot for Noot.
Why did I start this with you? This show? Why did I start this show
Raiden,
with you?
I'll take splits with a nut punch for 50 rand.
So, Scorpion and Sub-Zero also appear.
Mm-hmm.
They look terrible. But they are martial artists. There's no backstory. Like Scorpion and Sub-Zero. But there's a reason also.
Yeah.
I'm going to get into it.
Yeah.
They are actual martial artists. And you can tell the way they move and shit.
Mm-hmm.
The CGI is so bad.
Yeah. In some scenes, much worse than others.
Yo.
There are some things that they shouldn't have tried in this movie.
Look. Jumanji was made in 1995.
And Jumanji is incredible.
Yeah, they're CGI. Those animals are CGI in Jumanji. Jurassic Park was 1993.
Yeah, but I think budgets...
granted, but then don't do the shit then.
Yeah. But New Line Cinema's brave, eh? They like... they don't care.
They don't care.
They did Dungeons and Dragons and some other...
Look, Ed Boon, the creator of Mortal Kombat, he did not think that this movie was going to be made.
Also, they kept it PG, right?
They kept it PG,
yeah.
It was PG-13. It was a little darker than I remember, like the shit that happens there.
Yeah,
like,
that Johnny Cage and Scorpion fight is not a PG-13.
No,
fight.
But like, he didn't think that this movie would be made. And he said, like, when the movie was being discussed, I remember not taking it seriously at first. I thought this is probably going to be talked about, but not happen. Then all of a sudden, we're getting phone calls about casting and they were saying, what about this guy for this character? What about this guy for that character? The film after that was a hit.
Mm-hmm.
This raked in 122 million.
Against a budget of 20.
18.
Yeah.
I was like, yo.
It was insane.
People were craving for it. And that made me remember, because I used to buy those gaming magazines every now and then, because I used to play. I was on Sega Mega Drive. I was on. Anyway. And they were showing screenshots. Screenshots.
They
were showing set pictures. Yeah, stills from the film. And I was like, oh my God, that's Liu Kang. That's Sonya Blade.
Everyone looked like the characters. They were pretty on point.
I was lit for this film.
And I think that it is something that shines through. The director, clearly with his limited budget and with constraints of the time, did want to really showcase characters from the game.
No, he did.
So Scorpions, like Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Reptile, all of the outfits looked like the game.
Well, not
outfits.
Reptile initially.
Not initially.
Fuck me. This terrible CGI lizard.
Are we just not doing spoiler warnings? I mean,
this film is from 1995.
It's a 1995 movie, so
if you haven't seen it, like, you're not gonna watch it.
Yeah.
So
but
we're
you
just gonna
should
talk
see
about
them.
You should watch
check
it.
Check it out.
So, Kitana is terrible. So she's introduced.
She's just there.
She's so always looming.
So moody.
Always talks, looming.
Talks in like weird sentences. She just talks in like riddles.
My bro.
Like the element
there's
that gives
fight,
life.
There's a fight. That is exactly what I'm talking about. So there's a fight between, before the fight between Liu Kang and Sub-Zero, she gives him a clue to say, what?
In your next fight.
Yeah?
The element that brings life.
Yeah.
Remember the element that brings life.
So what he does is he just throws water at him.
Yeah, but also because Sub-Zero's busy. Like
he's like icing it up or whatever.
Yeah.
And just say, throw water
use
at
water.
Him.
Yeah.
Use water.
Because
why are you saying that?
I think the premise is that Shang Tsung is watching her fight Liu Kang. Also, was that in Mortal Kombat or was just that?
No,
was
that wasn't like Mortal Kombat. That was a training session. Because the tournament makes no sense.
No.
Because
what's
like,
the structure?
They random. I asked, where's the leaderboard? Where's the fucking leaderboard? How do they know who versus who?
Because how did Johnny know he must go to the forest to fight
Oh
Scorpion?
My God. So that fights are happening, and in Johnny's rank, and you can see a car in the background in one of the scenes. Did
really?
You know that? Yeah, I saw it. I spotted it.
It's like, so the first fight we have was Liu Kang versus like some
Liu Kang versus
guy.
A random guy. That was lame as fuck.
Yeah, and then it's like, finish him.
Yeah.
Or something. And then Shang Tsung. Shang Tsung's a racist, by the way.
Yes.
The first two souls he takes was like black guys. He doesn't take anyone else's soul.
Well, I don't know. Is it like a get out situation? Like they're physically superior?
Could be. Like he wanted their bodies. But they just lost fights.
Yeah.
Also. So it's like.
It's very strange. And then Sonya's fight with Kano was also like wah wah.
Yeah.
Because she's not a martial artist, like you can tell. And then that she kills him by like wrapping her legs around his neck.
That's
but
a fatality.
She has no leverage there. That doesn't make sense.
But and Kano's neck broke, you know.
Yeah, it broke, I guess. He was fine.
Yeah, Kano, I think this character in the 95 movie is the origin of Kano being Australian going
forward. Yes, yeah.
Because he wasn't in the game.
He wasn't in the game, no.
They started it here and then they were like, yeah, nah, we like that. Yeah,
so we two fights in now and they were both cuck.
Also, we don't know where anyone is on the leaderboard. Like
no, there's no leaderboard. There's no, they don't allude to who's going to take on who. There's no structure to it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. They just pitch up in random areas and start
and
fighting.
Then, like Shang Tsung will say something like, the rules are clear.
Yeah, where's the rules, motherfucker?
No
where?
Rules.
Where? I didn't even get a booklet when I came here.
No one got anything.
Fuck my life.
I do love when they get off the boat on the island. How all those human characters know where they're going to.
Yeah.
They're walking so confidently.
I was just like, I might have missed quite a bit. But there's a fight with Goro and there's like, all these guys are wearing like scarves around their heads.
Yeah.
Like they all look the same. They're super muscular. Mm. They're wearing these harem pants and they got these ninja scarves or whatever. And then there's one random bro with a check shirt in the fucking group.
Because why not?
How did he get there? Was he lost?
He's a bra that went into the wrong club, man.
He was definitely lost. So, we two fights in. Sonya's fight with Kano was cuck. Mm-hmm. Liu Kang's fight was cuck. Mm-hmm. Then comes Johnny Cage's fight. Mm-hmm. So, now Johnny is randomly walking in the forest, like you say, and Scorpion sticks out.
Yeah.
With that terrible CGI fucking thing.
Where the thing actually comes from inside.
Yeah, and it's alive and shit.
Yeah.
And then that forest scene happens, but then they go to Scorpion's lair.
Yes.
And that fight is dope.
It is. But Johnny could have also like won a bit quicker. There's a lot of like, I'll hit you and then I'm going to run away and scamper.
Compared it to the fights that you just saw, it is miles better.
Chalk and cheese.
It's
faster. I made a note that that's the first time you can see someone actually has martial arts training.
I'm going to tell you why.
The actual like choreography of that fight is brilliant.
I'm going to tell you why, but at the end. Because as we go on, we're going to talk about it. Mm. So that was miles better than the fights we just saw.
Mm-hmm.
That Liu Kang and Sub-Zero fight was so disappointing.
Yeah. Also because they show us, the dinner. You know, they had like They pack all that food out and then the tables
just get thrown.
And then they're like, oh, let's have a taste of some Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, and then the guy gets frozen. And
then
boom.
The guy does the whole thing and then Sub-Zero's making his ice ball and then frozen and then there's a head.
Yeah.
Why did they prepare all that food?
For nothing. And you and I are food people.
Exactly.
I think that pissed us off the most.
Very frustrating.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I made a note about it.
So, and then we get the next Sub-Zero fight.
Oh, and Samsung takes Soul Suji through his eyes now.
Yeah. Your soul is mine.
Yeah, and then Wink
blinks. He's just like, I'm going to suck it in through
his
the
His vision must be like 80-80.
I feel like it's a drug analogy. It's like a dragon allergy, man.
He said, did you count how many times you said mine? Yeah. Like, your soul is mine. You are mine. This is mine.
Yeah, there's a lot of variations on that.
They ad-lib quite a bit in this film, too.
Like, he says mine. Scorpion has a lot of, like, get over here.
Yes.
Get down here.
So that was...
Welcome.
That was recorded by Ed Boon, the creator of the game. It was out of place now that...
Yes.
Get over here.
And then get down here.
Yeah.
But he also shouts welcome when they go to his lair.
He's like, come inside. Welcome. Have a seat.
Would you like some water?
I didn't like the way that Scorpion died. I didn't like the way any of them died, actually. Yeah. Like, okay, if you can call those fatalities, they were horrible fatalities.
Sub-Zero was the stupidest.
Yeah, it was.
Like, Sub-Zero was building the Iceman of all Icemen.
I thought he was making an igloo.
Because he's building up for a good long time, right?
Yeah.
Liu Kang has time to figure out the element and he sees the bucket and the water. And through all of that figuring out, Sub-Zero's just like standing there and like, need a bit more energy. Just
I thought he was honestly building an igloo. It's like a round shape.
Gotta build an igloo.
Goro, what did you think of Goro?
Oh, Goro was... astounding.
Goryeo, like, it was a feat.
Yeah. For like, the time. It's animatronic, amazing that they got him out there.
So they had the man and then they put an animatronic with arms on top of him.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That thing kept breaking down, though.
Yeah. And because they also had people controlling the arms.
They had, I'll tell you how many people were fucking controlling the arms.
So while you're checking on the special effects, Jenna had a question. What software do you think designed Reptile and like the world when they pan out when Johnny Cage?
MS Paint. Yo, that was rough, my bro.
Yo. I made a note also to say with Liu Kang's first fight that Liu Kang and other Brucci really revved their engines before they started fighting.
Yeah, they fucking did the most, my bro.
There was a lot of pop and locking.
There was like that. What? There's that Asian Kung Fu thing where it's the fist, the straight hand and the fist.
Yeah.
They do that shit a lot.
And I also said, Kano, you didn't study any of her moves. Because he makes a point of telling Sonya, I've studied all of your moves. and then she goes on to like land 1,000 punches without anything. He didn't study any of her moves.
Oh, fuck. You know what? I didn't actually put that note in.
I also asked, how did Yuan Hawk know that the fire was coming or that Scorpion would explode?
No, how would he know any of that? But he just, the guy's on fire and he ran away. Like, it doesn't make sense. How did they know any? Why were they always walking where they were walking?
Yeah.
Like, it's such a weird fucking island.
There was like a monk that guided Liu Kang to Sub-Zero and he's like...
Yeah, but that's the one guy. And then the rest of the time, they're just walking in these caves. And
then there's a fight somewhere.
Nah, that's fucking tatty. Like, there's no fucking story. Liu Kang versus Reptile, right? The way Reptile comes to be, or sort of becomes a ninja figure... is so stupid.
Yeah, I'm going to throw you into an empty body.
Empty body, and this thing is just going to hold you fast, and then boom, you're a ninja. But I will say the fight is dope.
Yeah,
Human Reptile have a good fight, but again, the fatality is trash.
No.
They don't stick the landings with the fatalities.
None of them. Because none of them play through to any of the actual fatalities. No. So, yeah. I also did make a note to say that Shang Tsung holds onto souls through the sphincter method.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. He has to knipe.
Yo, he must have the strongest
like
fucking
he's not squeezing.
Sphincter on the fucking planet.
Because these times later on where the sub-souls are like starting to escape. And he's like... anymore.
Yo, and then he kidnaps Sonya, takes her to wherever the fuck, and then gives her a makeover.
Yeah, he blows out
the hair. He flaps up her hair, he puts her in a leather dress. I'm like, shit, this isn't so bad.
Yeah.
You know?
That's got to be some of the worst, like, sexism, though. Because the whole point is that Shang Tsung wants to challenge Sonya.
Yeah.
Because she's the worst.
Yes.
And if he beats her, then they win.
Yeah.
And everyone is just like, Sonya can't.
No, it's fucked up. And then what's funny is also, so he takes her away. And then Raiden says, oh, I can't join. And then Liu Kang is like, yeah, but we can follow them. And then they're like, okay, cool. And then Liu Kang says, yeah, she has to accept. She has to accept the challenge. Yeah, and she didn't.
Apparently,
and then Raiden says, Raiden says, there's no more I can teach you.
When he's taught him
nothing. He taught him nothing. And all Liu Kang did was learn the rules of Mortal Kombat. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not like he learned to fight inside himself.
I've got the point here that says, Raiden teaches them nothing, then says he has nothing left to teach them.
That is some next level fucking Yoda shit, bro.
He does squeeze in his line in the movie, like what becomes his tagline. I don't think so. Quite often. I think he's got like 3 or 4.
There was a lot of ad-libbing on the film, though.
I can see
like
that.
He encouraged them to do it to the point where the studio actually asked them to reduce the humor because people they kept making like funny remarks and shit.
Mm.
Like Johnny's line of like those $500 sunglasses asshole that was ad-libbed and shit like that. But you can definitely tell. And Shang Tsung's character, he just stuck onto that one.
Oh, yeah.
And then they kept also saying flawless victory. They said it like 4 times. When it's not a flawless. Yeah, they were hit. If you so understand the game, a flawless victory is when you beat someone without getting touched.
Yeah, like you've got a full power bar.
Yes.
No one lands anything on you. That's a flawless
and
victory.
And they're mooring each other and then they still say flawless victory. And I'm like, motherfucker, do you know what flawless is?
I also think that Goro has never won a fight in his life.
No.
Because when he wins that fight against like that guy who apparently Sonya was deeply caring about.
Yes, because she screamed before Johnny.
Yeah, she just like goes off when I die.
He was an actual martial artist.
Goro celebrates like he has won the World Cup.
He lifts his arms up. Yeah, look, the achievement of like what it took to build Goro, I respect that. Mm-hmm. And he looked really good.
Yeah.
But there were limitations.
There were.
You could see the limitations.
You know, one of my favorite fun facts about Paul Anderson, this was his first feature film, and he didn't know how fight choreography works.
No.
So they would do like a shitload of like big fights and stuff all in a day.
Yeah.
And then people start looking exhausted, and he would just tell them like, okay, we need to film another scene or so. To the point where other people had to come and tell him like, hey man, those guys are tired. You can't be doing fight scenes
this is physical activity.
Yeah.
You fucking weirdo.
I think that he thought some of the best takes were not like the takes where they were at their freshest stuff.
No, but he...
When you look at some of the like sweep kicks that...
Yeah, it's whack.
Oh.
It's so energyless.
Just like pathetic.
And this is my issue with him because apparently he fucking faked his way into this gig also.
Oh, so
he
said, upwards.
I quote, I went to Samuel French's bookstore and I bought every single book I could find on visual effects, on matte paintings, on CGI. I had the jargon down. He said, it sounded like I knew more about CG than anyone else in Hollywood, even though I'd never been into a visual effects house. Motherfucker, we could tell you didn't know about CGI.
We could
tell. In 1995, we could tell.
We could.
The problem was that it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were seeing Mortal Kombat characters on screen for the first
time. And we were just happy. I think this is also like people would compare this and like Street Fighter, for example.
So that, yeah, that's it. So they wanted to cast Van Damme. But he had already agreed to skip Street. No, not even because they wanted Brandon Lee for Yuan Hawk.
Oh, that would have been cool.
But then Brandon Lee died.
Wasn't Johnny Cage's original the game character based on older Van Damme? Who was like
kind of. So they when Midway went to Ed Boon to create the game, they wanted a game that could take on Street Fighter.
Yes.
And he had Van Damme in his mind the whole time. But then that had evolved into Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Which is way different to Street Fighter.
Yes.
So then I think that Johnny Cage character, yes, it was modeled after Jean-Claude Van Damme, because Ed Boon obviously loved Jean-Claude Van Damme. But then when this movie was starting production, they wanted him, but he was already on Street Fighter, which is probably a movie we should cover.
We should.
Goodness gracious me. So Goro kept, that robot kept breaking down. Like, it's the halted production like a Muso, and it cost, it was like $1 million puppet. That thing. In the beginning, right, when they talking to Johnny, Johnny's in the hangar and he fights and whatever. Did that director look like someone?
Steven Spielberg.
He was supposed to be in the film. Steven Spielberg was supposed to be in the film. That guy was actually German. Steven Spielberg was supposed to be in the film, but because of scheduling, he couldn't make it. So they just cast this look-alike. Tom Cruise was also the first choice to play Johnny Cage.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then they were filming on the same set, so Tom Cruise declined Clues, and he kept trying to see what they were doing, and then the security was like, okay, enough.
Like, he's like, I'm a Scientologist. Yeah.
Look at my feet. And they kept blocking him. So that was kind of funny. This is the thing. So after now talking about all those fights and stuff, you notice that the two fights that were significantly better than the others were Reptile versus Liu Kang and Scorpion versus Johnny Cage. So after the movie was done shooting, they showed it to test audiences. And test audiences loved it, but they said they wanted more action. So they went back and reshot it. Then they included Scorpion and included Reptile. And the reason why those fight scenes are better is because the guy that played Liu Kang, Robin Shao, he had worked with Jackie Chan in Hong Kong. So when he came on set and he was helping Paul W.S. Anderson with the and when it came to the reshoots, he basically handled and choreographed those fights himself.
So that's why
they are so much better. Exactly. And Paul W.S. Anderson had no fucking idea how to film these.
Yeah, he likes a good sweep kick.
God, he needs a fucking broom to the head. Never mind a sweep kick. I was like, yo, and it is so evident to me.
It is.
After reading that fact, because I noticed it when I was watching it. I was like, why? Yeah, why does this fight so much better than the others?
I have a note that says the Johnny Cage and Scorpion fight in particular for me
was the best one.
Stands out as where they actually like pull the camera back and you could see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they just let them flow against each other. You could see it.
Exactly. And it's because of Robin Shao. Mm. So, fuck Paul W.S. Anderson.
Dude, it does with one more fact before we go on to...
So, the guy who played... he ended up playing Scorpion. Like I said, he was just a stunt director. Like, he would just...
He wasn't actually part of the film.
He wasn't, yeah. And then when the reshoots were greenlit, they were like, okay, you're going to be Scorpion. And they filmed me. And the music, like I said... Mm-hmm. Fuck, I'm mooring it now with the facts. They weren't going to do an EDM... soundtrack.
Can you imagine?
Because this was like the rise of grunge and metal. So
smells like Teen Spirit.
This is one time where the studio made the right decision.
So the studio
were insisting that they do an EDM album, and then they got kicked out of like two record companies. Sony wanted to produce the soundtrack and have it composed by Buckethead, who was a cult rocker, and with contributions from Eddie Van Halen. And then Virgin Records, they put an idea forward that they wanted the soundtrack to be fronted by Janet Jackson.
Nice. Just imagine.
The studio said no, and they were like, fuck it, we're going to go EDM, and it is one of the best soundtracks of all time.
Of all time.
It really is. Lost.
Technodrome.
Yes, they did the. The song is called Technodrome.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat in brackets, and it was a group called, I don't have the name, you know. But they were also like from Swedish or some shit.
Of course, the Swedes, they know.
So, last one. Christopher Lambert, he still views it as one of the good computer game movies.
Yes, he would.
And he liked it.
He'd say it like this now. And he liked it.
Mortal Kombat is an arcade game, a beat-em-up, and because of that, they were forced to create the story rather than simply relying on the game's plot. And apparently he was amazing to work with.
Yeah, I heard some good things about him. Like,
yeah.
He was the only really professional actor.
Like the Paul W. Anderson has said, and others have said, that nothing was too small for him.
Yeah.
And because
he threw himself out.
Yeah, because he was the biggest actor at the time and the highest paid, everyone just sort of followed suit. Mm. So that like led the vibe of it. Mm. And when it came to shooting additional scenes, he did it with no extra charge. And he paid for the whole rap party at the end of filming.
Nah, man. Christopher's the truth.
He's the truth, man.
He really is. Some actors could take notes from that, bro. Seriously.
Now we want to Kotal Mombat.
Yeah.
Oh, you were excited about this.
I am.
So Jody and I went to the cinema to watch this.
We did. IMAX.
Yeah, we went to IMAX. I don't know if it was worth IMAX, though.
Not necessarily, but it was a ball of a time.
It was. It was super fun. Yeah, I forgot what it was like to watch. Because the cinema was kind of empty, so Jody and I could talk shit about them.
Yeah.
Like we could make jokes and stuff without people shushing us. So hit us with the fucking cast and synopsis, bro.
This one stars Louis Tan, Jessica McNamee, Josh Lawson, Tadenbo Asano, and Mikhail Brooks, directed by Simon McQuaid. Mortal Kombat is a mysterious intergalactic tournament of ancient martial arts. Shaolin monk Liu Kang from Earth gets invited as a competitor. I don't think this is a really accurate synopsis.
No, not the fuck.
The focus of this
one. What is this? This is in no way describes what happens in the film. First, Jax. The film opens and we get the backstory between the beef between Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
Love that opening.
I also love
it. It's online now. They've actually
the first seven minutes is
available.
So I also love that. Mm-hmm. It gives a depth of character that was not in the first film.
Depth of character. It shows us the commitment to super gory violence and just proper hand-to-hand combat as well.
Yeah. It actually,
right from the off.
I watched the 95 movie after I had seen this one because I haven't watched the 95 movie in ages. Mm. So maybe I'm a little skewed. You watched the 95 before?
Yeah. 95 is always fresh in my mind. I've got the DVD at home.
So I didn't want to straight up compare it, but already the choreography was like way better.
Way better. Worlds apart. This one feels like a movie.
Yeah. And the guy who plays Sub-Zero, Scorpion.
I'm not sure which one is Scorpion.
Why don't you have their names here?
There's so many of them. I just took like the first five.
Yo, bruh. Because, okay, I get it. Because what they don't actually show you, spoiler alert, is that Scorpion isn't in most of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the beginning and then you see him again. But
yeah, there's going to be spoilers like early birds. This is a battle. So we're going to have spoilers.
Well, do you want to give thoughts first or... I don't know. We can do what we want.
Again, look, I'd say this. The story is pretty non-existent. They make more of an effort.
Hiro Yuki Sanada.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great.
And
Sub-Zero. His name is...
He's already come out and said that they've signed him on for 4 sequels at least.
Joe Taslim.
Yes.
So when they were I saw a featurette.
Oh.
When they were filming and because he has a martial arts background.
Yeah.
They had to tell him to slow down.
Because he was too fast.
Yeah, he was too fast.
What, is that a first world problem? my camera's not fast enough.
So, opens with the beef between them. Sub-Zero, he sticks out and he murders fucking Scorpion's family. Save one little baby. He murders the whole village.
Yeah.
Because it's the Lin Wei and the... Something else.
It's the two clans.
The two clans, yeah. If you know a little bit about Mortal Kombat lore, you'll probably remember the names of them. But they are in battle forever.
It's essentially China versus Japan type of thing. That's what they allude to.
It was Scorpion being Japan and Sub-Zero being China. That was cool. I really enjoyed that.
Love the opening scene.
And then it gets a little meh after that because we're introduced to the new character.
Yeah, so our protagonist, the focal point in this movie is Cole
Sprouse.
Yeah.
No, what? Cole Sprouse is a
Tan.
Cole Young. His name is Louis Tan.
Louis Tan, yes. So Cole Young is our protagonist. He's an MMA fighter.
MMA fighter.
Not successful at all. And he finds out that the birthmark on his chest is actually an invitation to Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, he's got a birthmark in the shape of a dragon. Yeah. I don't know how he thought that wasn't weird.
Natural.
Yeah.
You know? A perfect round shape with a dragon in it.
Oh my word. And then he is a descendant of... Is that a spoiler?
Kind of.
Okay, fuck it. He's quite a vanilla cardboardy character.
Yeah. I mean, the fighting, again, all the fighting I would say is at a good level.
Yeah.
But his fighting for me was not that exciting.
No.
Like, his fights was really not that exciting. And he's not.
Even his MMA fight.
Yeah. He's just not that interesting to follow.
He's not. I wasn't truly invested in it. And I understand why they did it, introducing this new character. But it's like, if you introduce a character, then make me want to root for him.
He has to be compelling in some
way. Yeah.
And it's made all the worse because the actual star of this movie.
Yeah.
Kano Yak.
Yeah. Is Kano Yak.
He's introduced soon after and he just steals the show.
Every single scene that he is in, he fucking steals it from everyone else.
He just completely owns everything.
He's so funny and rude and gross.
We kind of don't understand what's happening because Kano is always in the games, in the previous movie, he's portrayed as a villain.
Yes.
And this film starts with Kano being with the good guy.
Yeah. So he's captured by a good guy.
But, you know, he's part of their team.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Kind of. He 100% steals the show. The insults that come out of this guy's mouth is so fucking funny.
Just every joke. And he's played by the actor from Superstore. The pharmacist on Superstore.
The weird pharmacist. Yeah. I didn't know he was Australian, actually.
I also didn't. But he just brings maximum Aussie to this film.
Now you compare his character to everyone else.
Yeah.
It's like night and day. So the problem is, I think they made us focus on this new guy. But the new guy is a piece of cardboard. Mm. And then by doing that, you push the characters that you actually came to see, you push them to the side. Mm. And then when they actually come on screen, they don't have enough time and you don't care enough.
You
except
actually
for
want
the one guy who's kind of a bad guy.
Yeah.
Why am I not supporting the heroes? Yeah. Mm. So, I had no notes in this film because I can't remember shit. But if you take me down a path, I will give you my opinions on where the path takes us.
We need to go into spoilers, I think, because again, story is very non-existent here. There might be a tournament or not.
Okay, that's one thing that follows through from the old movie. I don't know how the tournament works.
Look, you don't know how the tournament works, but in this one, I don't think there's a tournament.
There's no tournament. Fucking hell. The extent of the tournament is Shang Tsung knows there's a tournament coming up. So he's trying to kill the fighters from Earth before the tournament happens. But then Raiden stops him from doing that. And then he still tries to do it again. He just doesn't care.
Also, Raiden like mentions early on to us that the Elder Gods just don't care.
Yeah.
That Shang Tsung is like trying to...
Why wouldn't they care? What's the point then?
Yeah, and also a further backstory is that Earth has lost 9 tournaments, so if they lose one more,
then the realm becomes part of the outer world.
Yes, and outer world gets Earth realm.
I would also, if I lived in outer world, I would also want to come to Earth realm.
Yeah,
outer world is fucking horrible.
Yes.
The sky is constantly gray. You have to walk everywhere.
There's a clump nooks. It's just
like Shang Tsung, like the super powerful sorcerer. Has to walk to his next location. And he's walking in like arid desert.
Yes.
With a crew. And I'm like, yo, you don't even have like wheels of some kind.
Did you hear Joe Taslim's complaint about the movie?
No.
Talking about all this walking around. Apparently his suit weighed 30 pounds.
Holy shit.
Like 15, 16 kilograms.
It was a lot though.
It was exhausting for him to film.
Because in the film, like his armor and stuff does come off. So you see like he's wearing like a suit, a black suit on there with a head covering. And then they still pile on like pads after
that.
Yeah, I can understand that. Shit. The prick.
30 pounds.
Yo. That is
so he was cracking. Exhausted.
They introduced this idea of the Arcana.
Arcana, yes. Which is kind of like your chi, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like your inner power.
Yeah, and everyone's power is different.
Yeah, but only people who've got the Mortal Kombat dragon tattoo.
What is that called?
What, the tattoo?
The girl with the dragon tattoo.
Elizabeth.
No, only those people, the chosen ones.
Can access the Arcana.
They have to learn to... generate, use it somehow.
Or get mad.
Well, yeah.
That's also
one of the best moments of the film, I think, is when Kano discovers he's Arcana.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's just... Because... Okay. Don't want to give too much away, but this is the spoiler section. He keeps hinting at, like, what the Akana could be. So they explain the concept of it, and he's like, oh, I wonder what the fuck I'm going to get. Yeah. Probably better than fireballs and shit.
Fireballs or metal cans.
Yeah. So they bring it out of him eventually. Mm. Kang Lao does, and it's his laser eye. And then he's like so fucking stoked.
He's so
like,
happy.
I fucking told you. I fucking told you my Akana is going to be amazing. And, fucking and laser. Shame,
at this point, Sonya.
Yeah.
Her character is kind of like our... I felt bad
for Sonya.
Because everyone around her has got these... They've got these Chosen One tattoos. But she's not the Chosen One.
She's not
the
Chosen One. She's just helping.
She's just really passionate about Mortal Kombat.
She's like super fast. Shame. She's the groupie. Because she's trying to help Jax and trying to save Earth and stuff, but she's not chosen, so she's just like,
she can't
every
do anything.
Time she's like trying to help and do things and stuff, then they keep reminding her, sorry, Chase Hakate, you're not chosen, please go to your room or something. And it's like, yo, I felt bad for her.
Yeah, one of the moments that I think they shouldn't have spoiled with trailers was Jax's arm origin.
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool. I mean, his whole fight with Sub-Zero, pretty fun. And then the actual reveal with our Sub-Zero, like, fucked up.
Yeah, they shouldn't have spoiled that.
Yeah, because
Sub-Zero
really cool.
just, like, ices his arms and ripped them off.
Sub-Zero is our real bad guy in this. Shang Tsung is, like, he's the overlord duty of Outworld.
Yeah.
But
Sub-Zero is the one you're scared of.
Yeah, he's like the main heavy. He's the guy who's...
It's the first time you see him in the real world as well. So he appears to come after Cole, and like the air, it starts to snow and shit.
Out of nowhere.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. What I feel throughout this film is the director's actual love for these characters, which they were quite insistent on before the time. Like the director's passionate about the games. He loves the characters. We'll feel that. I think you can see
what he was going for.
Yeah. I'm not saying he succeeds all the time, but
I think the performances let him down. Mm. Liu Kang was a joke.
Yeah, Liu Kang, there's a lot of like,
announcements
and
he does that. We were talking about them making those gestures with their hands, those kung fu gestures and stuff. Liu Kang is to the next level with this guy. Everything he says,
would you like
has
to think about the sandwich?
And he throws his hand and he's stop. It's laugh out loud funny.
Yeah, to the point where you can't. Liu Kang is normally the protagonist or the person that you're rooting
for.
Exactly. There's no way that you actually.
Liu Kang is supposed to be
anything.
Super powerful.
Yeah.
Eventually, anyway. Mm. And he's a joke.
He's a total joke.
He's a joke. His cousin. I thought Kang Lao was supposed to be his uncle.
Yeah, I think they changed that up.
Was I remembering right?
Yeah, because he's a descendant of Kung Lao.
Yes.
So in this one, Kung Lao is his cousin, and he is a direct descendant of someone who's won the Mortal Kombat tournament previously. And he has one of the coolest fights as well with, is it Melina that he fights?
He fights, Melina with
the
mouth.
The fatality that he uses is just incredible with that.
Melina with the mouth, he fights her.
Yeah.
And that is my favorite fatality of the movie.
Totally.
He does his spinning blade hat when it's lodged in the ground, and then he pushes her and cuts her like a lamb, my bro. yes.
No, it's I remember reading before the time them saying that the gore is going to be tasteful. And those are not like, that's a bit of an oxymoron. But
yeah, but I get what you're saying now after watching it.
It's used well. It makes sense the way they use it. It's not just like, you know, blood splattering onto the screen for no reason.
And then you get some characters that are introduced that is like kind of pointless. Mm. Like the guy with the hammer, I don't know his name. You don't even remember him. He fights Jax.
Okay. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a character but he doesn't say anything.
He doesn't say anything. He's just one of the Outworld guys. He comes with Cabal.
And then Jax like fights him.
Yeah.
And
Jax apparently is like, I need to fight him.
Which is weird because if I were Jax, I would try and fight Sub-Zero. But okay, Jax knew that he wouldn't beat Sub-Zero.
He's like, I don't have a chance against Sub-Zero.
So that was definitely my favorite fatality as well. But I feel like the others kind of felt flat. Goro also, so there's a fight when
Cole,
eventually Cole discovers his Akana.
Yeah. Which, wasted opportunity for me.
Yeah, also.
You had a good idea for it, but I have a...
A better idea.
Better idea, I think.
Okay, hit me with it, bro.
So
wait, explain his current one in the movie.
So his one in the film kind of ties in with his MMA because he's like got no defense with his offense.
Yeah.
So in the film, he gets this layer of something that forms over his upper body.
Yeah, it's like
it just makes him like totally
tape suit or something.
Yeah, it's like he can't be damaged anymore.
Yeah,
you can hit him and he's gonna feel pain, but you can't break through this upper exoskeleton thing. And that's like his arcana.
So, but
he can also form.
It does the Wakanda, the Black Panther thing.
Oh yeah,
it absorbs the force and he can use it against you.
Yeah, then he can make blades and stuff on his arm.
Yeah, which I thought was fucking stupid. So,
I think.
Oh, so my idea was. That instead of it being a suit, I would rather have his skin become like that.
Yes.
So it's like part of him and he got like this tough skin that evolves.
It's just him.
Yeah, which makes sense. But what's your idea?
So they, as you mentioned earlier, he is actually a descendant of Scorpion. That's the storyline, right? He is...
massive stingy tail.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
No.
Damn it.
Instead of having Scorpion just randomly appear later in the film, like from hell, why not let his arcana be that he becomes Scorpion?
That's what I thought it was going to be.
That would have been the logical thing.
Yes.
Like his grandfather kind of living through him, but not actually.
I thought it was honestly going to be that with Jody before this fucking suit thing.
I thought that was the whole point.
Yeah.
And then they like just, then Scorpion somehow after he was killed just lived in hell.
No, so the thing that triggered it, well, from my understanding was getting Scorpion's blood onto that blade. Raiden gives him the blade of that Scorpion used to sort of fight Sub-Zero.
The thing that actually becomes his get-over-here
thing. Yeah, his get-over-here thing, that spear.
Yeah.
So he gives that to Cole, who is the descendant,
I
and his blood. His blood, Scorpion's blood runs in it. So Sub-Zero attacks him with it, and he holds it with his hand, and he cuts his hand on the blade, and the blood goes onto the blade, and therefore activates Scorpion from hell.
I see.
Yeah, I got that. Doesn't make sense.
No.
But, okay, this is where we are.
That's the logic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Scorpion comes out of hell, and he suddenly...
Do you know what, Jody? The way we're talking about this film versus the way we were talking about 95 already gives me an inkling.
Of which way you go. How
I
feel.
I think because, like, I expected more from this film. Now you have the technology. You have the way we film action has evolved so much that I thought this was going to be way better than what it was. I enjoyed some of the vitalities. I enjoyed some of the gore. But essentially, it's a martial arts film. And the martial arts was lacking.
Yeah.
Now, you compare it to The Raid.
Yes.
What was the budget for this film?
I couldn't find the budget. Also, remember they said before this movie came out that they are aiming for this to be the best fight movie ever. They want the best fights ever put to film.
Yeah, that's what they said.
To come from this movie. And... again, kudos to you for having aspirations.
Kudos to you.
Yo, guys, you did not hit that target at all.
On Wikipedia, the budget is $95 million.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but what was the budget of The Raid?
Not a lot.
1.1.
Yeah. And for those fight scenes that they get in there.
It's the way they film the fighting. It's the way the action is choreographed. And I feel like 1995, I get it. Like we spoke about it now. You see the difference in the fight choreography between what the Liu Kang character did and what the others did. Yeah, you have access to people. And you still fuck up the fight scenes. There were so many quick cuts. You couldn't see the action properly. I get it. You're using stuntmen and stuff like that. But you have some martial artists in there who could do the choreography. Yeah. So why not shoot it wide? Why not set up every battle like the beginning of a Mortal Kombat fight?
But especially because you've set up with the opening sequence. You've established that you have a universe where people can fight and where you can see what's going on.
Yeah.
Because that whole thing of Scorpion fighting
versus brilliant.
Yan's clan
is
brilliant.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what they're setting us up for. But then the rest of the fights don't quite deliver.
No, they don't. These guys are martial art. The guy who plays Liu Kang, he's a martial artist. The guy who plays Kung Lao, he's a martial artist. Mm-hmm. I think the direction let them fucking down. Done.
Yeah, I think so. And what is frustrating is that I feel like there is potential in this franchise.
Definitely.
I feel like there's something there. They clearly have more of a devotion to the the ethos of Mortal Kombat games, yeah. which is, you know,
yeah.
the blood, the fatalities, yeah. the like really bone-crunching fights and stuff.
Yeah.
So have that, but also have the output of brilliant fights throughout.
Yeah, and decent acting.
Yeah, that helps.
I mean, the dialogue at times also was so like...
If it wasn't for Kano as the comic relief...
I would not have enjoyed this at all.
There would have been...
Oh, my word. Especially that first act, after the Scorpion and Sub-Zero thing, when all that exposition is coming towards you, just like waves and waves of this is how it works, and this and this and this and this and this. Yo, if Kano wasn't there, I would be like, fuck my life, can we get on with this shit?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you probably heard, but I was like gasping for that opening sequence.
Yeah,
like
it was dope.
Like those, the moves that they were doing, the proper use of Scorpion and his the hook.
Yeah, thing. Actually swinging it around, and showing, you know, the physics of it. Like,
it was just so, so good.
So I think this to me is a disappointment.
I do hope it gets a sequel, though.
I do hope it gets a sequel. I think they need another director.
Yeah.
I think that... What is that guy doing from The Raid? Those movies have become like the blueprint. Not the blueprint. That's the gold standard, for hand-to-hand action. Mm-hmm. Honestly. Because it's like, fuck, you can't compare anything. And then these people with these big-ass budgets... Mm-hmm. come and they chop the scene up so cuck that you can't even see what's going
on. Because they need to hide the fact that their fights are not as quiet. So you make it look hyperkinetic by
everything. I was hard disappointed. Even that temple, the set of the temple.
Raiden's temple.
It looks so cheap now at times.
It just didn't make sense because it's like it's in the mountain, but is it really in the mountain?
Yeah, with that fucking Tesla coil thing in the middle of it or whatever you call that thing. I don't know what it is.
And that's the only time Raiden really used any powers.
Well, he can't get involved, Morse.
But Shang Tsung is like getting involved the whole time.
The Elder Gods don't... That's what I don't understand.
It's like, this guy's clearly doing it the whole time. What are you doing?
Yeah, fuck off.
Raiden is just...
When I got the feeling, so after... Spoiler alert again. Kano dies.
Yeah, Kano becomes a bad guy.
Kano becomes a bad guy, and then Sonya kills him. Mm. Sonya kills him.
Yeah, because then she gets she gets her tattoo.
Yeah, she gets her powers from them. And then, because you can gain powers, you can get the symbol if you kill someone who has the symbol. And then Cole kills Goro, but then Shang Tsung or someone makes a comment like, death is...
Just the beginning.
Just the next chapter or something like that. And then their bodies teleport.
Yeah.
So they're not dead.
Yeah. And like I told you earlier, Joe Taslim said that he's contracted for at least four movies.
Four movies. Yeah, but Sub-Zero is the one, the most ambiguous one.
But I think that the common sense approach is to bring back as many of the iconic villains as they can.
Yeah.
So like bringing...
Because they killed Goro. Mm. But then I was thinking while they were doing that, I was thinking like, they can't kill Goro now.
No.
Unless they kill Goro and then they bring in his brother.
But also, they need to have an actual...
Zoro.
The lesser known for... The thing is, they did not have a Mortal Kombat tournament in this film.
They didn't!
I guess that's my biggest...
This was like a prequel, I think.
Yeah.
Like a prequel to the regular tournament and shit. Because if you think about it, Earth didn't actually defend themselves for the 10th time.
Exactly. This was an
unlicensed match.
Practice.
Yeah, unlicensed battle, underground fight. Mm. This is those backyard WWE.
Yeah, where someone's going to die.
This is the equivalent of that.
Yeah.
And they didn't actually have the tournament, and therefore Earth is still needs to be defended.
On the precipice, actually.
Yeah.
It's still right there for the taking.
Oh, man. I had fun watching it with you, though.
I enjoyed it.
It was kind of funny.
Again, I think the fact that we haven't been to the movies for so long, also, and this is just like mindless, and they are like, there's moments where you're like, you know?
Yeah. There are moments.
Fun.
And the popcorn was fresh.
It was.
Because we went to the first showing.
Bright and breezy.
Yeah, bright and breezy. We went to the first showing, and the popcorn was fresh. My Astro, what did I have? Smarties were good.
Crisp.
Coke was cold. Mm. It was a good time, man.
It was good to be at the bicycle.
Yeah, man. Fucking
couple of brass at the bicycle.
So we are hoping to see Black Widow in the cinema again.
We shall.
So, who is the winner of this battle?
Mortal Kombat!
'95! I didn't think it was going to be 95. Mm. But with all the cheesiness and with all the 90s bad effects.
It had an actual tournament.
No.
Even though I didn't know the rules, I didn't know how it was working.
I think just the essence of it, there was more chemistry between the characters in the first film than in this one.
Mm. I would say the people in the second one could act better. But the first one was just more fun.
It was more fun.
The second one had its draggy moments where
the first one
like,
is like the little engine that could.
Yeah.
And this one, the new one, was just like, okay, you've got some more money now, but you didn't, and you've got the R rating, but you didn't actually
use it to the
best of your ability.
They don't even use the song. I mean,
they use the song, so okay.
No. They pay tribute to the song.
When Scorpion appears for the first time in the film, after this, the spear and shit gets blood on it, and he comes out, then there's like, like that's how it goes. Yeah. And then at the end, during the credits, they play the song.
But not really also.
In 95, they play that song 3 times.
Yes.
And every single time, it is... It works. Mm. It gets you pumped.
You somehow do 30 push-ups.
My bro, like that. That song is probably the best song ever made. Now that I think about it.
It is. Unquestionably
the best song ever made.
I saw one of our favorite podcasts say that. If you remember Gal Gadot and some other famous people did Imagine.
Imagine, yes.
So Imagine, they did the Mortal Kombat song instead. Yeah,
like all these celebrities, Tom Cruise just shouts, Mortal Kombat! And then it cuts to like Morgan Freeman.
It was at this point.
That Sub-Zero kicked Scorpion in the nuts. Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. Mm-hmm. 95 wins, and only because of its essence, its heart. Everything else is inferior.
Yeah.
The special effects, the fight choreography.
It doesn't hold a candle to... Like, 95 cannot compare in terms of special effects, choreography, fatalities.
Yeah.
You know, all the goriness.
But is it just because the nostalgia factor? Is it because you and I came up in the 90s, and is it that?
There is some of that, I'll admit, but I also think it's that the first one is just more fun. The second one takes itself too seriously sometimes.
Because honestly, if it wasn't for Kano, that movie would be boring.
Yeah. Like, who would you actually be vested in?
No one.
Which
I didn't
would
care
you
about
actually
it.
Care about?
Cole, the guy who plays Cole, I'm not saying he's a terrible actor. He's probably good in other things. He's so bad in this film. Sonya's trying really hard. Yeah. Even Jax is like trying hard, but the script and stuff also lets them down.
Doesn't do them any favors.
Fuck, man. But yeah, I didn't think it was going to be 95, but it's 95. Mm-hmm.
That's wild. That literally happened as we were discussing. I think we should do a retromentation.
We were supposed to do it with the previous episode.
But now I want to do one now.
Okay, so what do you want to do?
The fucking Raid. People need to go watch The Raid.
They need to watch The Raid.
They really do. We, as in terms of gold standard of fighting, the movie's subtitled. You don't need to read
any of the subtitles. No, you should, though.
You don't even have to.
You should a little.
I was just going to say, but...
At least read the prepositions.
Just the definitive articles.
You should definitely watch it. Those action sequence will blow your mind.
Yeah.
It's so energetic and so frenetic and well shot.
Hoping he somehow breaks out massively in Hollywood.
He won't though.
I don't think
it's the language barrier.
Yeah, I don't think he will, but his fight scenes are incredible. The fight choreographer, the character who plays the lead henchman in this one, I think. They just call him Mad Dog or something like that.
Yeah.
That fight between Iko Uwais,
his brother
and Mad Dog.
Insane.
So good. So please go check that out.
Check out The Raid. What one I give?
The Raid.
No. I'm going to give also Kung Fu though. Mm. It is Once Upon a Time in China with Jet Li. Because I feel like that's also why when I was watching the first Mortal Kombat, I'm like, they have so many like references to Hong Kong Kung Fu movies. Why aren't they bringing that into this film?
They
were made in the 90s. It's not like it was made later or like they were made in the 90s. Yeah. Bodyguard from Beijing, Once Upon a Time in China, Legend of Fong Sai Yuk, Tai Chi. All those I'm just listed Jet Li movies, but okay. All those movies were made in the 90s. So why not take those people or take reference from that and make these action sequences
and
better?
And those films often lack because they had really poor acting for the storyline part of the film. Yeah. But they had amazing fight sequences.
The fight scenes
they could have just transported those fight sequences as is. But Paul knew what he was doing, yo.
He fucking faked what he was doing. He fucking lied on his CV. He lied on his CV. And look, I am not opposed to lying on your CV. But if it is something that you definitely cannot, they're going to fang you eventually. Mm-hmm. So if you lie on your CV, here's a bicycle brush it up. If you lie on your CV, you have to go and learn what you do, what that lie was about. Whatever you lied about, you need to learn how to do it.
Can I tell you a secret?
You can.
Before we did this podcast,
you lied on your CV.
I lied on my CV and told you that I knew what I was doing. Oh, I didn't do that.
You
podcast,
didn't. Jody's like, just like, yo, we need to do a podcast. Mm. Okay. And then over to you, Ross.
I'm an ideas man.
And then I just fucking did all the technical shit.
Yeah. It's fun.
And now we're doing video also. Filming on a Samsung S6, I think that is. Yes, so.
Just look at it shine.
Oh, it's really old.
Might want to put some ice on that.
That thing is hot as fuck, man. Anyway. Okay, I'm happy with our choices. Mm-hmm. Good recommendations as well. I don't know where you're going to find fucking Once Upon a Time in China, but it's worth it.
It's there.
It is there.
Google Play.
But you will definitely find The Raid. You can even watch The Raid 2 after you're done with The Raid.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Raid 2, Berendal. Just as good.
I don't know where they can find that, but I do know where they can find us.
Segway.
Natural.
So natural. Maybe it's not as, because we keep pointing it out. Maybe we shouldn't point it out.
Just don't tell them.
Yeah, yeah. Shh. Okay. Do it again.
The segue,
yeah.
Oh, I don't know where they can find that, but I do know where they can find us.
This is me saying nothing.
Check us out on Instagram, Bicycle Brussels Podcast on Instagram. Go and like the post.
It's like a double positive.
It's like reinforcement.
It's repetitive.
It's not repetitive.
Repetitive.
Go and like this post. Go and check out our other videos. Go and like all the posts. Share the profile. We'll give you guys monies. Also, write us an email, bicycobrasa@gmail.com. We really want to know what you guys have to say. We read the emails. I read them. The email.
The email. We read the email.
Yeah.
And that is that.
That's that.
Cool. Hope you enjoyed the show. Stay safe, everyone. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ross.